Hello everyone and welcome to Sports Community Radio here at RPP FM 98.7, 98.3 FM. We're in the beautiful studios of RPP FM in the beautiful Mornington Peninsula region of Victoria, Australia. We're here to bring you the latest and greatest from the world of grassroots sports, including grants information, fundraising information, and a whole lot of more information on helping your club being successful, as well as your volunteers. If you've missed any of our previous shows, you can find all of them in podcast form at our website, www.sportscommunity.com.au. And while you're there, why not subscribe to our newsletter? And you can also have a look at our sports community shop, where we sell courses, training courses, as well as our latest ebook products on sponsorship, and also using social media at your club. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my co-host, the founder and managing director of Sports Community, Mr. Steve Pallas. Welcome to the show, Steve.
G'day, Joe. Thanks for that introduction. I'm just exhausted listening to it.
Well, we've got a lot going on, mate.
We do.
Yeah, I could have got without. I don't want to bore the listeners, but there's a lot happening at Sports Community, and you know, there's quite a bit that we can be very proud of as well, including the fact that our podcasts are now unbelievably closing on 100,000 downloads. Now, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, Jay, you've probably got to tell your mum to get a new hobby, because I'm not sure that she's contributed to many tens of thousands of those downloads. But
now,
it is.
Seriously phenomenal. Close to 100,000 downloads from people all, not only here in Australia, but all around the world. And a big thank you to RPP FM for allowing us to record the show in their magnificent studios here on the Mornington Peninsula, 98.7, 98.3 FM on your dial. Now, what have we got in the show today, mate?
Well, it's really it's a show on fundraising, really, Joe. We're going to introduce later on, we're going to have an interview with a gentleman named Chris Coleman from a new fundraising concept called Sports Saver. It now it's evolved to be Sports Pass. So
looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's I've had a number of conversations with Chris over the last 8 months, and very, very interesting, and for some clubs, it's, well, for most clubs, I think, have the potential to raise significant amounts of money using Sports Pass. And we don't have any relationship commercial, so it is just bringing a concept to our listeners, which I look forward to talking with Chris. We're going to talk some grants, but we got a bit of. You did mention that there's a lot happening in sports community.
Huge.
And sticking with the theme of fundraising, Joe, within the next 2 weeks, we should have the launch of the next sports community novel. It feels like a novel.
E-book.
A significant e-book, about 30,000 words on creating sponsorship packages for local sports clubs.
Yeah, and it is significant because a lot of our research tells us, well, not research, but a lot of the statistics that we monitor every day in terms of what our visitors are reading tell us that the popular subjects are around sponsorship and, believe it or not, fundraising, but also, believe it or not, running an AGM. So, sponsorship is something that a lot of club volunteers and clubs themselves are very, very interested in, and that's what's prompted us to produce this e-book, which will be available for download in a not too far away. 2 weeks, did you say?
Yeah, two weeks, which is not bad, because that'll make it very close to 6 months late. But that's not too bad. And I guess the focus of the book on the sponsorship, Joe, is how to make it a lot easier for clubs and volunteers to create sponsorship packages that create mutual benefits for sponsors and for the club. So not looking at sponsorship as a donation, but looking at sponsorship from a mutually beneficial point of view, but also looking at how to create a sponsorship package for any business in town. So we start to look beyond the traditional, the baker, the butcher, the pub type sponsors for your club. So really cool. I'm really looking forward to launching that and then getting out and talking to people about about sponsorship. But sticking with the fundraising theme, Joe, is the ever popular grants.
The ever popular grants. And I might interject just quickly just to, it sounds like a blowing our own horn segment here, but just to let the listeners know that we've also passed a significant milestone in terms of our newsletter subscribers. We are now over 5,000 in terms of newsletter subscribers and tracking onto our target of 10,000 in mid-year, I should say. So another significant achievement by Sports Community, which we're just thrilled about the way that we're being received, and we're endlessly thankful to the volunteer and sports community out there that who have been supporting us. So thanks very much for that.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no doubt, looking at the content that's read from the newsletters, Joe, that the majority of the reason that people open the newsletters is because of the fundraising and because of the grants. So if you don't receive the fortnightly sports community newsletter, just go onto the website, www.sportscommunity.com.au, and just register for the newsletter. And one of the key things that comes out in that newsletter is on a fortnightly basis, we update you with all the latest grants that are open at any given time. So, Joe, we might just duck into just three of those grants that are open. And there's some significant, as we've been saying for the last couple of weeks, as the year starts to hot up and people start to really get into 2015, the grants are now starting to open. Not long ago, the Australia Post Community Grant opened, and another corporate has now come to the grant table. Sports Cover Sponsorship Fund, where Sports Cover are offering a number of grants up to $750 for clubs to assist community clubs lead the creation of. Just as a sponsor, so you can apply to Sports Cover through their sponsorship fund to receive up to $750 for sponsorship of your fund, of your club. So that's pretty cool. That was not what I expected. I probably should have read that one before we went to air, Joe. But the two ones that I did read that are very significant, New South Wales have just launched the Sport and Recreation Events Program, which is really focused on creating events either at a club level, national or state level, events at clubs. And clubs can apply for up to, if you're wanting to host an international event, up to $30,000. If you're wanting to host a national event, up to $15,000. And if you want to host a community event, up to $10,000, Joe, is available for New South Wales clubs and sporting associations. So That's a really, really important grant, because we're getting quite a few inquiries now of clubs and associations wanting to know of grants that are available, because they want to run national, state, international events. So, I mean, I saw on Facebook the other day that the Horsham Motocross Club, Joe, and I know that's not in New South Wales, but the Horsham Motocross Club wanting to consider hosting the junior international motocross championships, the world championships, in 2018. So there's lots of community clubs are now really casting their eyes upwards a little bit, not just looking at community events, but looking at international events and world championships. So that's a great grant that's available for New South Wales clubs and sporting associations. In Western Australia, the Western Australian government has just opened the Community Sporting Club Equipment Subsidy Scheme, where eligible sporting clubs have the opportunity to apply for one-off $500 subsidy towards shared equipment. So, again, we're getting the grants that are open at all ends of the scale. Go onto the website. I think there's about 80 grants on at the moment, open at the moment, Joe. So all states and territories, pretty much all states and territories, have got some grants open that clubs can apply for.
Fantastic. And as mentioned, if you are on the lookout for grants at your club, then make sure you visit us at www.sportscommunity.com.au. Grants tab on the homepage. Just click that and you'll see all the grants available. You'll be able to look at them by your state, so Victoria, ACT, whatever it might be. Or territory, I should say, state and territory. So, make sure you visit us and check out all the latest grants.
Yeah, and now that we've kind of, the show's got this little bit of a fundraising theme, Joe, and sponsorship, grants, we'll talk sports pass later with Chris Coleman. But fundraising itself seems to be going through a bit of an evolution, I think, as new fundraising methods are coming more mainstream. And the one that's we're starting to see a little bit of interest in, Joe, is crowdfunding. I've been contacted probably up to 10 times since Christmas on people wanting some feedback and some ideas on crowdfunding. So I thought we'd spend just a couple of minutes, Joe, just having a quick discussion on crowdfunding, but also I think in coming weeks we'll get one of the crowdfunding platforms to come on and talk about some of the actual programs that they've had. But in a nutshell, crowdfunding is as the name suggests, where a club can go to the crowd, their audience, and get lots of little pieces of snippets of or amounts of money to together create a really large pool of money. And this has come out of the arts, Joe, where the particularly theatre, they weren't able to fund their shows, so they went to the community and got the community to fund the shows in return for rewards at different levels. And so we're seeing clubs now really looking at the way that they create or looking at the option of crowdfunding programs, because clubs these days have got large audiences, Joe, with their email newsletters and Facebook. So in the coming weeks we'll get the crowdfunders on board and we'll talk in depth on crowdfunding. But Joe, I thought I'd ask you, what are some of the other, you know, you're involved in a number of different charitable and clubs. What are the fundraising activities that you like that may not be traditional?
Well, crowdfunding is a favourite of mine, which I've personally used a few times to raise some money. And we're not just talking, you know, $500. We're talking clubs that have raised upwards of $30,000 and individuals that have raised up to $1 million. So crowdfunding I like because it puts the control in your hands and you can utilize your networks and your club community and your supporters, and you can mobilize them and you can demonstrate your passion and use tools like video and audio to motivate people to contribute to what you're trying to do. So I really quite like the crowdfunding way of raising funds. Also, I think it's very easy for people to discount the traditional ways of raising funds. And, you know, we often have a laugh about sausage sizzles and things like that.
No one laughs about sausage sizzles, Joe.
But the fact remains that these tried and true methods have stood the test of time and are still producing valuable funds for a lot of organisations out there. And I still go for drives every weekend and see the CFA or the local lifesaving club on busy intersections collecting money. I still see clubs at various, you know, mega hardware stores that have a tent there, and the numbers that they get, the money that they get from having a sausage sizzle at Masters or Bunnings or one of those places is phenomenal. They raise a lot of money, which is why there's one year waiting list to get your club a spot at one of these big stores. So, you know, some of these traditional fundraising ways I quite like, and I quite like the auction system. So, you know, if your club has a social media, so when we talk social media, we talk channels. So you have Twitter might be one channel, Facebook might be another channel, video, YouTube might be another channel.
Email newsletter.
So you might have a variety of different channels at your club. And there are always benefactors out there that are willing to give valuable items to your club. You know, you just have to do the work to find them. But I've had experience where we've been able to auction off a Liverpool top when Luis Suarez was there. You know, he's no longer there, of course, but the Liverpool Football Club, or the foundation of Liverpool Football Club, graciously donated the top, which then went on to raise a significant amount of money for one of the charities that I do some work for, the Reagan Milstein Foundation.
So you had an online auction, did you, Joe?
An online auction. So, you know, that's another method that I really like. And also, there's nothing wrong with entrusting your fundraising efforts, because they do take a lot of time. They do take volunteers at your club to run them, and to take a lot of energy, a lot of passion. There's nothing wrong with entrusting it to some experts, and there are a lot of experts in the area of fundraising. Australian Fundraising, for example, have a number of products that they have. You know, they sell pre-made cookie dough, for example, which you can buy at your club and then make cookies and sell. They also have Crest chocolates and some raffle products that they help clubs out with. And I think they've raised over $40 million for clubs over the journey, as well as people like Mr. Showbags and various other organisations out there that can take a lot of the heavy lifting for your club. And they will take something. They'll take a percentage, but that may be worth the percentage that they take may be worth the while, because you're saving a lot of people a lot of stress and you're getting a return for your club. So there's a number of different ways of raising funds that I quite like.
The two that, just to finish off, Joe, the two that I like the modern twist on the concept of the raffle. And when you look at what a raffle is, it's the precursor to crowdfunding. You know, you sell lots of tickets at relatively small amounts. Let's call it $1, $2, $10, $50, $100, whatever. And that creates a sizable pool. Out of the pool, you offer prizes, whether you have to pay for them out of the pool or they get donated, but you offer prizes. And so that concept of lots of people being involved in the raffle, that's something that's always traditionally been around. But I love the concepts that have evolved from that. So you know, one of my favourites of all time in sports community fundraising identification is the old cow lotto. I love the cow lotto, Joe, where you paint, you know, hundreds, big grid on the oval, or a oval, or a grassed area. Sell each square. So you number the squares, sell each square, roll the cow out or walk the cow out, and whatever square the cow poops on, Joe, is the square that's the winner. And I love that concept. So it applies equally. Like we had not long ago a discussion about a rubber duck race.
Yeah, I was about to mention that. You know, that's that outside of the box kind of fundraising thinking is really, really great.
Yeah, and it's fun, you know, like the rubber duck race where you sell the rubber ducks for $10, $20, $100, $2, doesn't matter. But you can, that means you can get a whole lot of people involved that together creates a whole big pool of funds from a fundraising perspective, and a good fun event.
Well, you know, I do a lot of volunteer work with sports clubs, and that involves a lot of fundraising. And I often find myself going through the fundraising procedures that we have on the website at sportscommunity.com.au under the fundraising tab. There's over 50 of them there.
No, there's nearly 100.
Well, I beg your pardon. Yeah. There is nearly 100. And I often find myself going through them because there is a number of fundraising activities that we just don't think about that we could easily employ at our clubs. You know, things like outdoor cinema nights, carols by candlelight. They do take a little bit of effort, but the reward for the effort, it can be quite significant. Then there's also shopping tours, days at the races, There's all these kind of fundraising activities that we list on our website that you really, if you are involved in fundraising at a club, if you've been given that job and someone's pointed the finger at you and said, right, your job on the committee is to raise funds, well then make sure you visit our website and have a look at that part of the website, because there's some great ways to raise funds there. And let me say this, Steve.
Jeez, I thought we were finished then, Joe.
Let me say this. We may have the absolute king of fundraisers on the show today. This fundraising procedure, or this fundraising technique or program or whatever you'd like to call it, could be the one that tops the lot. So make sure you stick around, because we'll be talking to the founder of this particular fundraising program, Chris Coleman, after we have a short break. You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Steve Pellis and Joe Novella, another Sports Community digital production, courtesy of www.sportscommunity.com.au. Okay, welcome back. As mentioned at the top of the show, we've got a fantastic guest with us today. His name is Chris Coleman. He is the founder and director of Sports Pass. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, Chris, it's Stephen here, and we've had a number of discussions over the last couple of months, and as, I guess, a founder of a startup internet company myself, I've been watching and certainly listening with great anticipation to Sports Pass. So for those that haven't been involved in those discussions, tell us what Sports Pass is.
Yeah, well, Sports Pass is essentially a very simple fundraising platform. We set about with a goal over 12, 14 months ago to just make fundraising at grassroots level simple. You know, we conducted a lot of research and found there's a real opportunity to make it happen.
So when you say making fundraising simple, and I know that the thousands of listeners that we do have on the show, literally, and we thank them for that, have just sat bolt upright in their chair and gone, making fundraising easy, because that sounds like an oxymoron.
Yeah, no, it can be like that. We looked at who else is out there, but really it comes, as you can all tell from my background, looking into what the UK Lottery has done for sport in England. And for those unaware, it's pretty much like a lotto ticket, where a clip of the ticket goes into a big fund that gets rolled out amongst sport. And it was just that it just seems that the passion of sport in Australia and, you know, the challenges of fundraising, that there wasn't something in place here. So we started looking at it, and, you know, we spoke to sporting associations and sporting clubs, and, you know, it's the usual sort of fundraising activities, which, you know, people love or hate. But the important part was when we started speaking to corporates and understanding how many of them, you know, get approached for, you know, can you provide bibs? They just can't deal with everyone.
Mm.
And so for corporate level, they got like two choices. You know, they blanket bomb TV coverage, etc., to get, you know, a sale in. But it was a case of, we sort of proposed a, you know, proposition that if we had a community that used your product, would you be prepared to give a financial reward or rebate back to that club? And it was just overwhelmingly positive. So we started putting a plan together and came up with Sports Pass, and we're 160 brands in with about 600 offers, all looking to do their bit for grassroots.
So, and I know that the website, and let's start with the basics. Sports Pass, where can people find out more information? At
sportspass.com.au.
That's pretty easy.
Yep.
A lot of marketing money would have gone into coming up that URL. And so you go to sportspass.com.au and you see, what will be the experience? Well, certainly, sorry, go back a step. The launch date for Sports Pass is?
It's next week.
Which will be?
Monday the 2nd.
Monday the 2nd of March. So after Monday the 2nd of March, someone will go to the sportspass.com.au website, and what will they find there?
They find a platform that consists of these partners, 160-odd partners. Pretty much half of them down the middle, about 80-82, are pure like rewards. So it gives, you know, go to AMF Bowling, buy one game, get one free, coffee upgrades, ice cream upgrades at Baskin Robbins, those sort of fun bits. And then the other half is all these commercial entities that, you know, obviously they're marketing, but, you know, they want your sale. But by proving loyalty and using them, they're happy to reward your local club and your sport. But how it's worked from the beginning, we've partnered with clubs and associations directly. So at this point in time, we've got 1.4 million customized membership cards for your sport and for your club, literally on people's desks, ready to go out to their members. And these cards go out, there's two types. One's I'm a member card. So this is produced absolutely free. There's no cost involved to any of the clubs. This gets handed out to their members, and they can go enjoy all the benefits. And the more they use it, obviously, the more money that comes back. And examples of that would be Vroom Vroom Vroom, the car hire aggregator, Europe Car, all those sort of major brands, and they guarantee the lowest price, but they rebate up to $4.30 per day per car. So all these little bits will add up for your members going directly to their sport. The other card that goes out is I'm a supporter card. That card is identical access to the full program, and this is where we sort of replace and making it simple. It's free for the clubs to partake. They hand these supporters cards out at sausage sizzles to the wider audience, very much like a raffle ticket. Then if that member chooses to activate the card, they come online, they pay a small fee, of which 50% immediately gets rebated to that supporting club.
Okay, so from a fundraising perspective, the two revenue streams, if you like, are a rebate on what some of the members, what the purchases of some of the, or some of the purchases of members, if they go through a participating supplier, and they, what do they need to do? Book it online, or show the membership card, or use the number on the card? How does that work?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We've actually, you know, a bit unlike other programs, we've really mixed it up. So we've taken the best parts of what exists. So all the theme parks, it go along either with, you know, you go online and print a voucher, or you go online and scan your card, right way through to online purchases, say it's health insurance or travel insurance, even accommodation and flight providers. You go in, you book online, you know, you can do your comparisons to make sure you're getting a cheap rate, which they guarantee. And then likewise, you know, 10, 6, 5% of whatever that booking gets passed back to the sport and club. And one of the principles, we've got two major principles here at SportsPath, is one, we never sell data. And mm-hmm. two, all these rebates go back to grassroots. We don't take a cut.
Okay, so, well, that's an important point then, that that all the money generated, all the rebate revenue generated from a club's members will go back to that club.
Correct.
So clubs that really promote it and continually reinforce it, they have the potential to make serious amounts of money.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one with myself, as an example. I play hockey for Mornington Peninsula Hockey Club. And in the last year, if I had been using my Hockey Victoria SportsPath card, which I'll get next week, as I'm a bit different, but I've taken 27 flights, 47 car hire days, and 40 hotel nights. And in total, that would be, you know, $846 that would be coming back to my sport.
Wow.
So it can really add up, even though that's a bit of an exception. But, you know, from research, there's a lot of people use cars and they go to tournaments. And accommodation is certainly a big one.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you haven't launched yet, but are you in a position to talk to us about the brands that have come on board and supported Sports Pass, or at least the type of purchases that members can make that will generate that rebate back to their club?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to keep it a bit secretive, as we have the last 16 months, to who the precise brands are, but you'll be able to see it in a week's time.
Yeah.
But absolutely, what we went out on purpose and worked with national brands. There's two things to say. It's, we work with all the national partners, so it is the easy one to rebate to your club. It's your everyday travel, it's your accommodation, you know, if you do go online to make any purchase, there's a really good chance there'll be a rebate, and it's all obvious on the website what's coming back to the sport. But one of the other things that is really important that I'd like to mention is for all clubs and associations that have their current sponsors, you know, we want to show them as much return to keep them investing in local sport and association level sport. So we provide access as well to them to come onto the site free. So for an association and club point of view, you know, they can actually now get reports from us that measure and prove that their members go and use their services, which would really help increase collateral when going to find new sponsorship partners.
Wow. So when a club registers, so I guess a club has to register to use the card, or does that happen through being associated with a peak sporting body that has registered with you?
So, yeah, it's working in various ways at the moment. We're working on our biggest sport is nationwide is Touch Football Australia.
Yes.
Just hundreds and hundreds of thousands of players. It's on a fantastic growth spurt. And our smallest association, no offence, is Diving Victoria.
Yeah.
But from their point of view, you know, when we spoke to them, you know, they got their 300 membership cards for their members.
Yes.
But they're already asking for, you know, three times as many supporter cards because it's free. There's no risk to them. They don't owe us money. You know, it's not as though they have to pay up front for these cards. They're there on their big meet days. They can hang them out. And then it's up to the member if they choose to receive the card, do their bit to support the sport, but at the same time really buying it to get all the value and two for ones, etc. It's their opportunity to do so.
So just going, that's the other half of the revenue model, isn't it? Well, I guess there's three revenue models if you can promote sponsors through it, but for clubs. But so clubs can access the I'm a supporter card and effectively sell them in much the way, same way as what the traditional entertainment book used or is still sold or those sorts of things. And have you finalised, I know you're just finalising a lot of the details, but have you finalised how much those I'm a supporter cards will be sold for by the clubs or?
Yeah, it goes out. It's only $25 for a year access. So we've done all our research, and that seems to be like the no-brainer point.
Yep.
Of which guaranteed is immediately, you know, 50% goes back. And it's important to know, you know, for your listeners that after supporter cards is the only avenue that SportsPass makes its revenue from to keep the company going. All the other rebates go back to sport. All the members' cards, as mentioned, go out free. You know, we're trying to get a momentum together. The more partners we get together and the more people promoting, the more revenue goes back to grassroots sports and we can hit our goals.
Wow. That's just thinking about that as you're speaking, then it really would be worthwhile for clubs to generate or sell as many of the I'm a supporter cards as possible because of the fact that any of the subsequent rebates of any of the purchases that those supporters will make, the rebate will go back to the club.
Yeah, and they're everyday brands. When you see them, you recognise them straight away. A good example of that, it just made me realise, is one of the challenges we had, or one of the challenges sports have, is the growth of social sport.
Yes.
And golf's been an interesting one for us. Here in Victoria, we're piloting with a couple of golf clubs. And how they're working is they're actual members who have paid fees to join the club, get their membership card, they get a supporter card, you know, they go sell it like a raffle ticket to their friends, family, you know, that bit goes to the club. But we're actually creating I'm a golfer and I'm a player card, that whenever a social player comes to a golf club, buys 18 holes, they get given one of these cards attached to a flyer. And the golf clubs are saying, look, if you come back with your receipt, we give you your next 9 holes free. So it's two things are happening there. One, we're actually capturing data that we don't sell, but it belongs to the club or the association we're working with.
Yeah.
So it helps build up a wider audience so they can market back to these golfers to say, hey, we've got a fun day, we've got a competition day, why don't you come along? But the second thing is that it's getting golfers back to the same club. One of them is, I think, working with, you know, if you bring your receipt back, you're going to get $25 of range balls. Very similar to lawn bowls up in Queensland.
Yep.
I think they got just shy of 100,000 members, but nearly 300,000 barefoot boulders come through up in the summer season.
Yeah.
So it's one of these ones. These cards are there. While they're on the Gold Coast, they're going to save a fortune anyway because it's just all theme parks and Fun Central anyway. But these cards there, they can bring a receipt in and they get some sort of offer. So it gets people back to the clubs more than once. So it can be used for lots of different purposes is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so you mentioned at the top of the interview that you've got 1.4 million cards sitting on various sports association desks ready to go out in the next week. Who are the sports associations or who are the clubs that can expect to receive cards in that initial launch?
Yeah, for the associations that we've partnered with, I believe it's 75 state associations. And every club underneath that will be getting a box of letters with the cards attached, ready for distribution, absolutely free of cost. they can just get it, they understand it, they hand them out, and hopefully the revenue just comes straight back into them. It's designed to be simple.
Fantastic. So for those sports and associations that aren't part of the 75 that you've signed up for launch, how can they get involved with SportsPass?
Just please get in contact with us, to myself or any one of the team. You know, we're certainly looking, you know, to grow, because I think the more people we have engaged and trying to do their bit, you know, the better the offers and the bigger brands will do more, because they see it as a financial, for them, from a marketing spend point of view. You know, it's a lot more logical to come on board and say, right, let's give it to this program because our members are using our services. You know, it gets a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are you promoting the program to the clubs? How once you get up the website up and running and the initial 1.4, which is just staggering when you think about it, 1.4 million cards out to clubs, like how will you promote it and promote the program to the clubs? Because one of the challenges with volunteers is they need to be constantly reminded and positive reinforcement about the benefit of different referral programs. So this will be no different. So how are you going to make sure that SportsPass remains front of mind at the club level?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely vital, and it's one of the keys of why we're working so closely with the association. They've got the communication that comes down that explains why it's such an important process, and this program, you know, it's a value add from an association to give down to clubs. You know, their players are actually getting a card that gives them free benefits, and it's a free fundraising opportunity. So we've got communication coming down mainstream through the association. But our social media kicks off, which is a big one. Fantastic talking to people like yourself to help get the word about there. But we've been very fortunate that with not trying to just name drop, we've got Matty White, who's on the F1 commentator and the V8.
Yes.
He's our main spokesman. And Nicole Livingston, who's got 1,000 members over at MSAC here in Victoria.
Yep.
You know, two people that have come on board. You know, Nicole's a pilot within swimming for her club, and Matty White. We've got a few celebrities coming on board, and we've been doing a bit of a video shoot, so you see all that coming out, and hopefully the momentum will be there. We've got a lot of ambassadors coming that are doing it for the right reasons. They're doing it because everyone started somewhere.
Yes.
And that's it. The more money we can get back into grassroots, the more pressure we can take off fee rising, and the more kids we get bang for. I think that's the ultimate goal for everyone. Let clubs concentrate on running clubs and let the revenue just be there.
Well, that's the ideal situation for the volunteers. Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. So looking forward 12 months, which I know is probably hard given you're probably only looking forward 7 days to when it's launched, but how do you think SportsPass will be working and look like? Do you think it'll be the same model that you've got, or what's in the future pipelines that you've been thinking about?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one from that point of view of growth. We want to stay as a fundraising program. Obviously, you know, there's the challenge of, you know, the technology that you can bring to the table, but there's some great players out there doing that. We just want to concentrate on fundraising. We've got just under 800,000 cards locked in for our mid-year run, which is going to be the summer sports. So we're concentrating on growing those numbers. But where I'd like to be in 12 months, and hopefully, without saying too much now, we're in conversation with, you know, a couple of the major grocers. And I think that would be like the golden egg, I think, at the end of the day, in a year's time. We're just, you know, back to the UK lottery funding side, where people are just doing their everyday shopping, and then there's a tiny clip of the ticket going back to grassroots sport. I think that's the golden goal. But got 12 months to get there.
Fantastic. So theoretically, the vision is that pretty much every dollar that can be spent by a club member in their life, as much as possible, you'll create accesses through SportsPass where the clubs will get a rebate or a clip of the ticket, so to speak, and the members will get a better offer than they may have been able to negotiate themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly it in a nutshell. And that's what, you know, that's what we've got all the team focusing on. You know, it's just better value for the members, and, you know, just more revenue stream coming back
Well, it doesn't sound like it's much of a catch, and it sounds very, very simple, which is the only way that volunteers will embrace the whole program is if it's simple. Now, Chris, I was going to say,
as you mentioned, it doesn't sound like a catch. I tell you, from the last year of, you know, being on the road speaking to everyone, the two questions that do come up is, where is the catch? And it's like, you know, our books are transparent. You know, you'll be able to see your revenue coming back, what's owed to you, and it'd be paid promptly. The second question I always get is, why is there a Pommy guy telling me about sport in Australia?
Well, we weren't going to ask that. We just like to bring the best ideas to the best tables and to the clubs and wherever we get it from. But why is there a Pommy guy telling us how to creating opportunities in Australia to fundraise?
That's exactly it. But I've been here 8 years, so it feels like home. It is home.
Until your cricket team starts winning and we might send you on the first boat back to...
I think we both know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to happen for this World Cup. But why? So you've been here. What brought you out here in the first place?
Really, change of scenery.
Sunlight?
Just coming out and, you know, before you leave it too late in life, to come out and see something new. And pretty instantly met my wife out here and had a little boy and, yeah, very happily in Melbourne.
Chris, it's Joe here. Seriously, back in the UK, I had the opportunity to visit not too long ago. There is some best practices there in terms of sport and sports funding. So, you know, that's not a bad background to have as well, because there's some great things happening over there in this space.
Yeah, I think there's a lot, but my personal opinion is, it hasn't got the community like it has in Australia around sport. You know, sport's very strong, it's very passionate, but here, regional as well as metro, you know, the whole town or, you know, gets around the club. And I think that's something that made this program so much more successful out over here in Australia.
Yeah, there is a very strong sense of community, particularly when, well, it doesn't really matter where, really, as you say, but certainly as you get out into the rural and regional areas, it seems to amplify. So I think you've hit on a very, you know, characteristic of Australian sport, which I've always wondered whether it was the same the world over.
Yeah, you know, every you know, sport's passionate, and you know, it's sort of different culture from that point of view, but I just see it so much different here from such an early age. You know, just the amount of soccer mums and soccer dads or whatever's going on. You know, there's always good attendance. I think it's probably due to the weather's always nice, to be honest.
Mm. Well, I mean, it does help to be able to see the sun every now and then. But now you did mention, and you just flicked over it, but you talked about social media, and I know that you've invested in social media right from the start with Justin coming on board to run and oversee the social media side of Sports Pass, but. First of all, what's social media and how can people find you on social media? And then I just want to delve a little bit into your strategies, because that's one of the areas the clubs are really interested in, is how do we use social media to achieve your goals? But first of all, where can we find you on what social media platforms?
Yeah, we're on Twitter and Facebook.
Yep.
Are the two main ones.
Yep.
Come April, when the whole cards are digital at the same time, sorry, I forgot to mention, and come April, our actual app comes live, which would be very, very cool.
Yep.
And then that's where, you know, communication can really help going forwards. But Twitter and Facebook seem to be the major ones, promotion and engagement. And that's, you know, that's the challenge. The more clubs we get talking together about how, you know, how to better fundraise and what you guys do there at Sports Community, you know, I think it's fantastic to have all this information of how to improve your club. Easy, because like you say, they are volunteers. So many clubs are volunteers. And just on that note, not that it was a plug to get in there, but for every number of clubs sells a number of supporter cards. But what we've always had in place, and this came off kind of off the back of Rowing Victoria, was we actually gift that I'm a volunteer card that are pre-activated, all ready to go, to be given out at awards night to all their volunteers, because everyone knows, you know, grassroots runs by volunteers. So it's a tiny way to say thank you.
Oh, well, you may consider it tiny, but any way that clubs say thank you to volunteers is always greatly appreciated by the volunteer, because it's if there's one thing that clubs do poorly, it's recognise and reward volunteers. So anything in that area, I think will be greatly appreciated by both the clubs, but the volunteers themselves.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. You know, it just seems so many of the conversations where we go, and you know, flying around the country, you know, you're still fitting in with people with full time jobs, and it's easy to lose sight of that. You know, when you know you don't get replies from emails, and you've got to understand that you know this is, they do this for passion.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's what we've got to embrace.
Well, it's interesting that you say you've got to understand the volunteer, because we see over the last 2 years, Joe, I reckon we've seen maybe four or five different loyalty programs come through the doors of people trying to access the community that is local sport. But each and every time, they're doomed to failure. Well, in our opinion, they're doomed to failure because they don't understand the culture of volunteering and the nature of volunteering and the fact that the volunteers just, apart from getting the sport organised themselves, the playing activity of the sport, there's really not a lot of time to do much else. And I think this is definitely the first program that we've seen that A, recognises it and makes it really simple and easy for the volunteer. And that's the only reason that we've, you know, invited you on the show, because we think that this is the first time that we've seen a program that will actually do what it is meant to do. And you know, all kudos to you and hats off to you. I think it's a great initiative and one that I think with the right amount of listening to the volunteers in the feedback, it's going to be very, very successful for the Thanks. Volunteers.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Very kind of you.
No, I think that's going to make the volunteers' life so much easier. And as you say, volunteers don't come on to committees and join clubs to raise funds. You know, they come on to participate and enjoy the sport in which they're interested in. So anything that can be done to make that less time doing the non-sport activities and more time doing the sport activities, I think is going to be really well received from the volunteers.
I think that's it. And, you know, mentioning like where we'd like to be in 12 months, you know, if there is this unknown revenue stream coming in, so, you know, not just the sale of the supporter cards going directly into the club, you know, it's just ongoing all year, dribs and drabs coming yep. through, that could clock up. But just to have the ability for the extra, you know, boots, you know, it's probably not so bad for like beach volleyball where you need, you know, some volley sunglasses, suntan lotion and a beach towel. You know, compared to, you know, how does someone get into being a, you know, a hockey goalie without a club to provide kit?
Yeah.
And that's where it'd be fantastic. For these volunteers to be able to have that resource to say, you know, we need to grow this part of the club.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I just wanted to recap on something that you did say, and just so that I understand how it worked, how you said that you're effectively opening up Sports Pass to the sponsors of clubs. So how does that work?
This is something new we're working on. For state associations to start with, because it's usually the sort of more national brands that are behind there, or certainly state-level brands,
yep.
they can come into the program entirely free of charge. They can either be seen by all members across the program, or if the retailer chooses, you know, only can be seen. If they're sponsoring Hockey New South Wales, for example, you know, their offer can only be seen by Hockey New South Wales, to try and get that engagement. But come April, and this is sort of hot off the press and not in the public yet, is Sports Pass Local kicks off, and that's where we're working with all the clubs that come on board now. We provide like a local window stick packet sticker and a sort of little marketing packet. They can come on board. So if you're in a rural town, you might be a netball dad or, you know, a rugby mum, and you walk down, you know you've got the Blue Cross and the Sports Pass. You might not know what the offer is, but you know you can walk into that shop. And there's a little bit of love. That's all we ask. And to get community involved that way. But I think that comes back to sponsorship again of grassroots clubs. You know, that's another one that's quite often driven by passion.
Yeah.
And they've been sponsored for years and years. And we don't want to just say, right, you know, no more local ice cream parlour because we're working with Baskin Robbins, for example. You know, it's about getting engaged and getting getting them more sales. You know, let them get more footfall for doing the right thing and sponsoring their local club.
And as you say, work out a way in which that that support can be measured.
Yes, exactly that. And you know, that's what it is. That, you know, the power of technology now and the ability to capture and track data and to prove ROI for these brands and for these clubs. You know, it's a great way. What, you know, any of the state sports or even a local club, you know, we can provide, you know, stats to say that, you know, did you know your members always click here on a Friday? Here's a good reason to go to their marketing team and actually say, right, you know, we've got X many members, they always come here. Can you come to our registration day and put something on? You know, it's a chance to have that sort of ammunition, you know, behind you. You can make more strategic decisions for clubs.
Well, absolutely, and show the value that I think it'd be one of the things that clubs have really struggled to do up until now is show the value that they do create for their sponsors. And I think for in many situations, people are going to be extraordinarily surprised at what value local sports clubs create for their local and bigger sponsors.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really underestimated area.
Well, Chris, I think, well, again, as I said, congratulations to you. It takes an extraordinary amount of work to take something very complex and make it simple, and then it takes even more work to take it from a thought to reality. And all hats off to you, and good luck on the launch. And if we can help through the process, that would be, let us know. And I look forward to having you on the show 12 months from now and seeing how it's panned out and how it's different to what you thought it was.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your time. I genuinely really appreciate it.
Okay, that's Chris Coleman, founder and director of Sports Pass, which you can see, you can go on the website at www.sportspass.com.au and find them on Facebook and Twitter.
You're listening to Sports Community Radio with your hosts, Jonah Vella and Steve Pallas. If you've missed a couple of our episodes, why not visit our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au, and there you'll find all our previous podcasts that you can download. And while you're there, give us a review so you can help spread the news about Sports Community and its services to the grassroots sports clubs. Okay, thanks for listening to the radio show today, here produced in the beautiful studios of RPPFM 98.7, 98.3 FM on your dial. Produced, I must say, in one of the most beautiful parts of the world, the Mornington Peninsula, here in the state of Victoria, Australia. If you've missed our podcasts, well, you can download them simply by visiting our website at www.sportscommunity.com.au. And while you're there, why not sign up to our newsletter so you can receive the latest and greatest in the world of grassroots sports information, including ways to raise funds, grant information, and also important tidbits of information like how to get more sponsors and how to run things like annual general meetings at your club. So we hope you've enjoyed the show today, and we look forward to bringing you the show in the future. If you do want to contact us at all, please don't hesitate. You can do it by emailing us at jointheshow@sportscommunity.com.au, or you'll find other contact details at our website, www.sportscommunity.com.au. But for now, on behalf of myself, Jay Novella,
and myself, Steve Pallas, thank you for making us part of your sports community.